Hello, welcome to the big show. I think we peaked there, actually. I think I've spiked it. I might be a bit hot. Never mind.
Oh, Ewan, you are.
I'm hot. Oh, yes. Yeah, the big show's back. Yes, we're as normal. Righty took over last week. Thank you so much, mate, for filling in at the last moment and wielding a fantastic big sword, I thought.
Oh, thank you.
Most definitely. And watch this space, because Righty's going to pick up something that's brand new on the network during the autumn and winter, which will be absolutely stunning. I cannot wait for this to happen, because it's going to be superb. But that's a big secret, and we've let you hang. You see what we did there? That's called the suspension. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, we've got an absolutely fantastic bunch. Starting us off, top left, Terry Barrow, where you been, dude?
Hello. I've been on holiday a lot.
Are you trying to? If you're trying to do a podcast with me, or shag me based on that, hello.
Bit of both, baby.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I've been away, essentially, and we're also looking to buy a house. So we've been very, very busy looking at an immense number of houses, and we dared my stepson to jump into somebody's swimming pool whilst viewing a house, and I learned a lesson never to dare my stepson to do anything, because he will do it.
Which floor did he jump into the swimming pool from?
It was swimming pool level, but the owner of the house was very good about it. In fact, she even got him a towel. So I'm okay. 50 quid out of pocket, and
You bet in 50 quid he wouldn't jump into a pool.
Yeah, well,
dude, for 50 quid, he better be on the 20th floor.
It was a bit stupid, really. Sam said, I bet you wouldn't do it for 20 quid. And he was like, I said, you'd have to do it for 30. And then he said, I'll take 30 off you and 20 off you. And I was just like, hang on a minute, isn't that basically just me paying £50? And then he did it anyway. And I was just like, okay, I'll give you the money.
Only if you're a misogynist. Okay, mate. That was a joke. That was a joke. I'm not suggesting anything of the sort, Derry. Next to him, it's Jeffrey Gamet. Where the bloody hell have you been, boy? Crossing the sidewalk.
I've been wondering where the bloody hell you have been as well.
Oh, I know. I was a bit of a lame ass last week and ended up doing some work, so I do apologize.
That's all right. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I'm so glad we're both here together.
As it happened, I did the work here, so I could have actually done the podcast, but do you know what I thought? Let Righty do it, because Righty does a better job than me.
You ain't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
It was a fantastic show.
That's what I heard. Now, Jeffrey, what's been going on in the world of Boulder, Colorado?
A lot of bears running around.
So there's no sporting events that have...
There probably is, but I try and avoid that, because that's just chaos and pandemonium, and nothing good comes from that.
Okay.
But there are a lot more college-age people driving around on scooters totally stoned, because, hey, you can buy marijuana anywhere.
Mate, yeah. That's the world over. I mean, everywhere's gone back to university this week. Yeah, so freshest week was 2 weeks ago, so everyone's stoned now. Doc, where the hell have you been, buddy?
Working my butt off and then trying to get my knees together before I think about not getting surgery. So I've been doing a lot of therapy and shots and whatnot, keeping me busy.
Oh, we've got Troy Muller has tweeted out a picture of us in 1080p on the television, and we look gorgeous.
No, I'll see a bit of that.
Get in there. And Batwench has also tweeted that we look gorgeous. So, there we go. And Doc. That's- out of the pretty, being the prettiest one of all of us, you look gorgeous.
Thank you. Where's the picture? I don't see it.
So what's happening with the knees, pal? Why have you got bad knees? What have you done to cause, make sure it's child friendly, of course, because we're...
No, so, I mean, you know, the funny thing is when you're a kid, like, I was doing parkour before there was a word. It was mostly running from the cops, but yeah, you know, so there's that. And then I did football and track. My events were 110 high hurdles, 330 intermediate hurdles, high jump, triple jump, long jump, pole vault. So there was that. And then I started breakdancing. And when I joined the Army, I jumped out of airplanes. So I just didn't think that flying was a human thing, but I kept doing it anyway.
Did you use a parachute?
Yes.
Okay, at least there's that.
But, and then so funny thing is, when my doctor was like, well, yeah, what kind of stuff did you used to do in your kid? And I explained all of that. He's like, yeah, you should have had your knees replaced when you were like 30. So you kind of got off good. But this is basically a therapy to try to see if I can avoid having to get full knee replacement on both knees.
So, I mean, a knee replacement only lasts about 20 years. And
that's the reason why he wants me to parlay it, because he says that...
You're only 60 now, so that's not going to last very long, is it? So.
That's exactly what he said. He said I would have to get it replaced like 3 times before I broke, because the rest of me is kind of all G, and your body can't handle the surgery maybe after the second one. So, yeah, he said just wait. In the next 5 years, there's a lot of stuff on the table with 3D printing and...
I'm going to print you a knee.
Oh, my God. You could make your own knees, Doc, and then engrave them.
Yes, dude.
Dude, that's what I was thinking. But I think it's kind of blown away to think that, you know, I'm going to...
You can't steal my knees, bitch. They're engraved.
No, I think I might get 3D printed knees, though. I mean, the tech person in me is like, yo, that's off the hook.
I think that's really cool.
3D printed knees. We may have a title.
And then the worst part is when they get halfway through the second knee and have to replace the ink cartridge.
Okay, but no one will ever see that, which is good considering it's Notre Dame. I had to endure the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets last weekend. That was a game I didn't want to see because I'm a Lions fan. So
you have what they call intestinal fortitude. You're like me to rate it.
You got to say, actually, if you want to grow a pair, being a Lions fan's the way to do it.
As I'm saying, Lions and Raiders, like we're in the same position, brother.
Absolutely, too right. What's the Super Bowl? Never heard of it. And last but by no means least, it's Righty Boy. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right, mate. Thinking about a little secret.
Go on.
To think about a little secret. I'm excited.
Well, I was wondering whether that secret is how many sombreros you've actually managed to confiscate this week.
Do you know what? I've had a week of people like sending me pictures of like news articles going, is this you? Is this you? I said, it's not me. Now I see you. Oh, you sod. How long have you been cooking that up for?
Oh, since you started banning frigging sombreros, you nutters.
Can I make a statement on behalf of the University of East Anglia?
I wouldn't, because you'd probably get sacked on Monday morning. No,
I won't. The Student Union of the University of East Anglia is a separate entity, it's a separate business. The University of East Anglia did not ban sombreros. The Student Union did.
Oh, and right. That's good to know.
Is there like a big sombrero problem in the UK?
Oh, right. So you've got to Google the University of East Anglia sombrero. Just do that for me right now, because apparently during Freshers Week there was a bit of a push,
a bit
on all things Mexican, and I'm just standing this way because it's the only way that the thing actually stands on my head. There we go. And the Students Union promoted sombreros, but then
the racist sombrero.
There you go. But apparently they were removed because sombreros were racist.
I got a question.
Tech story of the week.
I forgot which one of these is correct. Is the Daily Mail or the Guardian? Which one of those is the rubbish one?
Oh, the whole story's shit, mate. It doesn't matter what you pick.
It's all rubbish.
Okay, so if we were at CU to have a bunch of people start wearing bowlers, does that mean that those are racist because... You know, all the British shows on public television have guys wearing bowlers.
Mate, it's about as racist as tacos. I mean,
this is
what's your
stupid.
Mouth, I'm sorry, mate. I'm a misogynist. What can I say? Tacos just does it.
I don't mind saying it is ludicrous because Pedro's, there's your advert, give me a free meal. Is the restaurant in question and is one of the best restaurants in the best thing about it is it's in the middle of a public park. It's the best Mexican restaurant in the world. Everyone in Norwich who's ever lived here or if you ever visited, everyone's got a picture of a sombrero in Pedro's. And
you know, I actually want to come out and try this restaurant because I've been told there are no good Mexican restaurants through the whole of the United Kingdom.
Oh no,
Pedro's is the best. Free meal.
I having eaten at some Mexican restaurants in America, though, and I've got to say, having eaten at the one that Tom Merritt took me to, the one that Tom Merritt took me to was, I mean, if you described it as ethnic, everybody in there was Mexican, and the food was stunning. It was better than anything I've ever tasted in the UK. So on that basis, if that's your benchmark, if you like, Jeff, then I think, but I think in Boulder, I think you may be a bit north for authentic Mexican cuisine. I think if you're in the New Mexico, California kind of region band, Texas-y kind of band, I think you probably find a lot more.
Yeah, there's a different flavor when you get south, but we have some restaurants here where the people that run them actually immigrated from Mexico.
Right.
So we've got that.
Yeah, no, I bet that's I bet that is pretty good.
Yeah. Still, racist sombreros.
Racist sombreros. There you go, Righty. Sorry, mate.
No. No. My wife did the best rebuttal, really, because she, I say, everyone in Norwich has got a picture of themselves in Pedro's, this restaurant, wearing a sombrero, and she changed her Facebook profile pic with her wearing a sombrero.
Good girl.
She said, "This is me being racist in Pedro's," because that's how ridiculous it is.
Excellent job, mate. I do apologise for interrupting your introduction, but I couldn't miss it.
That was the most epic introduction ever.
I'll let you off.
The Week in Tech, the 950 has been released today. This is a water-cooled cellular phone. There is a bit of me in my head who's going, how the hell have they done that? Batwench wants us to cover it, and if we don't cover it, there's going to be trouble. So I'm going to read up on the story now, because that might be my story, because no one's brought it with them, you bastards. So who wants to start us off? Who's brought the story of the week, the one that they think cannot be topped?
Oh, my God.
Blimey, Governor.
Oh, wow.
All right, so no one.
No one.
Nobody. You bought some shit off Slashdot because you couldn't be bothered.
All right, well, how about if I start then, so that we get it?
Jeffrey, you never start, so you start us off, boy.
Okay, so there's my link for my story. Facebook, you know how everyone says, well, you give us the like, we want a hate button, and now they're changing the, oh, look, it's the wrong link. That's sweet.
Thanks, mate.
Awesome. Okay, anyhow, Facebook is is adding in some more options to go along with liking a post.
Right.
And so now what they're going to add in instead of a dislike button are reactions.
God, this sounds like it's been buttered up to sound politically correct, but actually it's not. So go on.
No, it's not. There's nothing about it politically correct. It's just, I just think it's kind of lame. I mean, it
sounds immensely lame.
Yeah, it's immensely lame. That's it. I have a story about how lame Facebook is being, because instead of giving us a dislike to go along with the like button, they're giving people reactions. Why not just do like upvote, downvote?
Well, I've got to say that the upvote, downvote thing, I do understand that there's a kind of horizontal that you'd like to add in. There's more graduations between it's shit and it's great. Most definitely. In normal speech, you would say that. But having said that, we run Shite or Not, which is a movie review service for things which are shite or not. And that's very black and white. So I don't, I kind of understand, but there are posts out there that people, but then there's, you know, I don't give a shit either way about this. Why would you click a button if you don't give a shit about it either way?
Right. Yeah. We don't need a meh button. We need a, I like it, I don't like it, and there you go.
Well, I don't know, that's the thing. Is there a dislike button?
No.
That's so, what everyone originally wanted.
Yeah, exactly. So if you look at YouTube, much as I hate the dislike button, because I get people, you know, I put a picture of my kids up or something on YouTube, and three twats on YouTube, no matter who they are, they put dislike on every friggin' video on YouTube. So, okay, fine. I know they're out there. Job done. But I think you should have a, I think this is shit button.
Yeah, I agree. And instead, Facebook is giving everyone a collection of meh buttons.
Is anyone going to disagree? Otherwise, this is going to be a shit conversation.
No, I disagree.
Oh, thank you, Terry. Oh,
thank God.
Hey, I disagree.
Go on then, Terry. Disagree. Wind yourself up, mate.
I'm disagreeing because I think that the dislike button is essentially a welcoming for trolling. It's like saying, come and troll me. It doesn't work on YouTube at all. The only, you know, I mean, Leon put a video up of when he was like 11 years old of some Lego animation thing, and it's had disproportionately dislikes to likes. It's not a good video, but he was 11 years old. I mean, you know, there were also comments there of, you know, you should go kill yourself. That's the worst car video ever of Lego. Oh, but no. At the same time, people don't realize, you know, it's an 11-year-old
boy
doing
it. But those are comments. They're not a dislike button.
No, the I don't like button on YouTube as well is you know, it's the same feature of pretty much just saying this is crap.
No, but hang on a second. There's a difference between writing, this is crap, you should go and die, and just clicking a down arrow. I mean, it's...
If Leon's watching this, it's not funny, it's horrible.
No, it's not. It's horrific, and it's wrong.
It is horrible. I think so. But no, but my point being anyway, not about the comments. That was just a part of the, you know, the video. The dislike and liking, I mean, we're not... What benefit is it for me to go, I don't like that, unless it is something that's going to actually be disliked? I mean, you know, if I put something up that's on to do with the EDL...
What's the benefit of me disliking it unless I actually dislike it, is what you've just...
I know. No. I'm trying to... The problem with liking things that we have is people just go down their list and go like. That doesn't help anyone. I don't get anything, no feedback from knowing, yeah, I actually posted something useful here, somebody liked it. You know, it means it's meaningless, and so will the dislike be. When it first came out, it might have meant something, but I think that actually people just, you know, they just give out likes because they see something and go, like. It's meaningless.
What's the difference from the favorite button, though, is it?
No, the favorite button on Twitter.
Yes. But one thing that is different for us is that we don't get a reaction out of that. But there are some people, and I don't want to say narcissistic because that's the far end of the thing. But there are some people where just feeling slightly included in whatever by getting those likes, that's part of their thing. You know, it's just like in the early beginnings of Twitter when everybody was in the freaking follower numbers game. Before anybody realized, having a bunch of followers that don't replicate or repeat what you put out is basically useless, so it doesn't do anything. But, I mean, there are literally people that get satisfaction out of it, so we can't dismiss it to say it does nothing. But the thing that we have a problem is, and I get why they want a dislike button. When you hear something sad, you know, Bobby McGee, made-up name, hope no one named Bobby McGee. Bobby McGee says, you know, oh, my kid is super sick, you know, send out your prayers and thoughts for him, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And these posts do comes up. There's pressing the like button feels kind of stupid, but you want to show that you support, and maybe at that very second, you don't have a chance to type something meaningful. So the smart thing to do is just ignore it and then come back to it, but you don't want to be the person that forgot. So there's the frustration in wanting to press like to show support when it should be like, I'm dislike because I support. Supporting you get better, you know what I mean? Like, there's a thing, that's what bothers everyone.
So the meaning of the like, essentially.
Yes,
I know what you mean.
And that's why a couple of people have thought of, we should literally have a I support button or don't support button. And that's better than disliking something that you just don't want to like because it has a sad connotation. So don't put a negative button, put a like button and put a support button.
Like empathy button, that'd be better.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, put an empathy button. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Why not? Well, what's wrong with that? Because you get like, my dad died last week, and people are like, he was a great guy, people go like. An empathy button would be better. Surely that would be better.
I think people are putting way too much thought into what these buttons do. Just saying.
It's your story.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean he's not right, though. It is partially right. But this is what happens when you try to automate. This is the first problem is you're trying to automate a feeling. And that kind of shouldn't happen. But it's already been done. We're stuck with it. It's the new world. now we can't look back and say we shouldn't have done it. But somewhere between emojis and like buttons, automating feelings is a little bit odd.
You and you bastard.
You did not replace my freaking soapboxing with three kids in racist sombrero. Wank.
No, that's no kids, if you're listening, that is the perfect use of the term wanker right there. Appropriate use.
But hey, you know, it took
me 2 years of working with you guys to, like, you know, get it figured out. That's just awful.
I you look at the internet for metrics, don't you? Constantly, you want to see what's the hot topic, what's the trending topic, what's the hashtag that's trending, that kind of stuff. And Facebook has only got a like thing, and if it's not liked, then okay, that only kind of relates to your local friends. There is a certain part as well, if you put a post out there that only your friends can see because you're on a private account, and five people give you a dislike, you're kind of like, who are the five people that don't friggin' like me? And it's then, and you could see a meltdown of local social groups because they can't work out who does or doesn't like them.
They've got to tell you, though. I mean, it's got to work in the same way as the like. You know, the dislike has to show the list of people who dislike it, so you can go, what the, mate, why do you dislike my post?
Yeah, I'll have a dislike post as long as you out the person that dislikes me. That's going to go really well, isn't it? Especially in America where there's shit gun laws.
I think if you're going to dislike something, you've got to have the balls to press the button and know. Be known. Show yourself.
Commit to it.
Facebook dislike button goes live in America and there's 5 million less in the population the day after.
it's like that film.
Well, it's not like, it's dislike.
Wait, what's that one? The Purge. There you go.
Oh, oh my word. Wow. Wow. Oh my word.
Oh, that's more inappropriate than a f***ing sombrero by a long way.
There you go. The Purge is basically Facebook's dislike button. That's what we're...
For saying. Sombreros. There we go. Thank you for outing yourself, Righty, by the way, with that sombrero.
Look at my baby face.
I couldn't get my eyes off your racist sombrero, mate.
Yeah, I know.
You're just a wee pup.
Show me your racist sombrero.
Hashtag.
Now that's a trending topic.
Dislike.
Oh, that was a better story than I thought it was going to be to start with, Jeffrey. Well done, mate.
It turned out to be a better story than I thought it was going to be too.
Oh, that's good then. Thanks.
I committed to it, I was like, oh, I maybe should have picked.
Thanks for bringing a shit story in your own head, mate.
Hey, sure thing.
Doc, you said you had something else. What have you got, mate? Come on.
Okay, so this is kind of sort of for you. Let me get this in your chat.
Techie Tez has put in racist, hashtag racist sombrero. Oh, we've got to get that trending by the end of the night.
Get it trending.
Come on, Doc, tell us all about your story. Mashable. Singapore Postal started Singapore, testing drone deliveries.
Yes. Yes, they said they announced on the National Postal Service that they started testing drones for delivery. So somewhere on Thursday, they took a couple UAVs up and they've thrown about, 2.3 kilometers to take a package of t-shirts to, like, Singapore has this weird little, like, floating peninsula. I'm not even going to attempt to screw up the name. And if you look at the map in the story towards the bottom, you'll see that it's like, you know, a 2.3 kilometer jump across this water. So the post office, which is near the back of the airport here at A, they throw the little package on the top, fire up the drone, and then shoot it across and then deliver some t-shirts to this guy. And I'm like, it's funny because we first heard the Amazon story. We're like, yo, this is going to be cool when it happens until, like, you know, Amazon drone drops a six pack on the wrong person or something. But I guess the t-shirt is light enough. If it fell out of the sky, it probably wouldn't crank your olives too bad. But I still think it's pretty cool. And
that's a cross belt sorter, by the way.
Huh?
That's a cross belt sorter, by the way. I put a camera on one of those ones.
Oh, I forgot. You used to work in the post or consult for the post or something, right?
Yeah, I used to do work for the postal service in the UK. Yeah.
Look at that, though. That is so wicked, man. There's so many things. And there was a company in Australia a little back, maybe like July or so, that was doing drugs not that kind of drugs. We have that in El Dorado, Texas. Doing medicine, and they were flying medicine to people. But this is kind of wicked. And you think about, you know, just getting rid of the traffic and some of the gas emissions. It sounds awesome, but I'm just wondering how bad they're going to blow up the first mistake.
Dude, this is just well-edited shit.
Why?
Yeah, because we intend to deliver by it. Well, for a start, it's a deregulated environment. You can't fly a drone that close to anything in the UK, and nor will you ever be able to, and quite rightly. I just think this drone delivery system, it sounds fantastic, but actually, if you look at the cone, it's certainly in the developed nations of areas where they've got airports, where they look at, and there's more confined environments in the UK, I have to admit, than there are in the Far East. But you look at the cone that you generate by your approach path to airports, there is a bigger cone outside of that approach path which stops you from flying drones above a very low height. And there's no end of places in the UK. You cannot fly a drone at all. Forget about crossing highways. Forget about crossing public spaces and running the risk of landing on people. And forget about the privacy of people and the ability to crash into a building. There is no way in the UK and in built-up America you would ever get this passed.
Yeah, in rural America, though, it'd be kind of awesome. You know, you think about, like, the middle country, the middle plains, even parts of Colorado where Jeff lives, which is bum F. Peoria, and then in Hawaii, not so much Honolulu, but on the Big Island, you got to transverse just miles and miles and miles of forest and volcanic rock. So it'd be a great way to hop around here. And, like, on the island, our cables go around the outside. They generate a loop. Everything in the middle is basically cable-less. It's all underground. So, yeah, I can see you're saying in the big metropolises, no. But I think it is more effective and would actually be more beneficial on the long hauls, because most of your, long haul traffic, you know, for truckers and stuff is through parts of America where, you know, the only people nearby are their cousins, hence the inbreeding.
I think that the big problem that you've got with drones, though, and this is a serious issue, is if you look at the batteries that they need to generate and the weight that they have in order to propel the vehicle, the distance that they do in the time that they do, you're talking about very heavy drones that travel at immense speeds in order to carry that distance. And then when they fail, if they fail, you're talking about a very heavy object that's falling from the sky at pace. And you're not talking something that's insignificant. You're well up to the 4 kilogram mark. And 4 kilograms from 100 meters up is going to do...
That's going to leave a mark.
You're talking about that punching holes in cinder block walls. You know, you're not talking about something that... Forget about the person. You're talking about massive property damage from something at that pace, at that height, falling down by the force of gravity. And I think that's where it's going to fall down, is unless these things are controlled by someone at a control bay that can see where they're going, and don't forget adding a camera makes the distance to structures even further away in the UK law, then they're going to fail. And that's where the thing's going to fall down, is the fact that you can't afford a drone pilot, because it just wipes out the efficiency and the benefit, cost benefit of having a drone in the first place.
Makes sense.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to kill the conversation with that comment.
No. I mean, it makes sense, but I definitely see that. I think it definitely is going to have to be confined to the rural areas. But the problem is, once you start it in the rural areas or places where it wouldn't be so much harm, other people are going to want it, and it's kind of like the gum in the classroom. You know, you can't bring it if you don't have enough everybody.
But then you're looking at the distances, mate, and the distances mean the speed's got to increase and the pull of the props has got to increase, and that increases the battery size. And that's what I'm saying. You can say that in the rural areas it's going to help, but actually it's probably going to be worse, because you're talking about a 10-kilo drone bringing you your parcel.
Yeah.
Oh mate, we're still looking up at that burning ball of light in the sky and going, what the hell is that? You give us in Norfolk drones, we're really going to freak out.
Well, you know, if you're wearing a sombrero, that burning ball in the sky.
Oh! It comes back.
You know, it's funny you say that, Paul, because in the places where it would matter the most in this country is the places where everyone would freak out. Dang, I saw this thing flying around here. And, oh, God. Yeah, so.
I thought it was my brother.
What the hell is this?
I thought it was my sister. I thought it was my pig. Sooey.
That's pretty good, you know?
That was good. Am I wrong?
Hey, where's Richard Dumler today? He's the only actual redneck here, and he's not in the chat.
No, he was here earlier. He's here. Yeah, Richard Dumler's there. Campion says, Chris Campion says, we need a live BTN test and the Prime 1 hour delivery order at the start of the show with delivery before the end. And they've got more than an hour in most cases to deliver then, though. So that's okay. Is that too scary, says Batwinch?
There's an easy way to alter that test so that we win. Make sure it's a show with Kelly on it when you order your stuff.
Serenak says,
yeah, that's true.
Serenak's got a real proper doctor's problem. He says, I keep losing the sound on iOS. Don't listen on iOS then, because it's iOS, yeah. It's not us, because everyone else is hearing us just fine. So it can't be us. The thing is, there's an awful lot of cool stuff going on around drones, but there's an awful lot of crap going on around drones.
It's one of those things where people are pushing it too hard, right? Don't you get the feeling of that sometimes? Yeah. People are pushing it too hard, so we're just waiting for something really catastrophic to happen.
I saw someone who said to me,
like, laser pen.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a customer who said to me, oh, you know, drones, why can't you do drones? And I said, look, I've got drones, I could do drones, but the problem is everywhere I go, I can't fly them. Well, this company's told us that they can. And I'm like, hang on. So where you are, you've got to get the permission of every single structure, because it's going to have a camera on it, you've got to get the permission of every single structure within 150 meters of the flight path of this thing. So it's not flying over your property, it's going around everyone else's property. You've also got to get the permission of people who may be underneath of it. You also have an absolute zero capability of flying over public highways, which in order to do a circular path around your premises, it would have to do. Are you sure that these people are telling you the truth? And they went, oh, that's a good point. And I went to this company's website and they've got this thing flying across public highways. And I'm like, you cannot do that. You cannot fly a drone across a public highway.
And yet they have a video showing that's exactly what they're doing on their website. That'll be handy for it.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I also found out this week off my cousin Richard, if you're listening, mate, thank you, about why we call them drones. Do you know why?
No idea. Because they're like bees?
Right, hang on a second. Because, well done, Doc, apparently during World War II, they had some old tiger moths, and they kitted them out to fly by remote control. Think about the tech we're talking about in the 1939s and 40s. And they used to fly around, and they used to shoot at them, but they deliberately didn't shoot them because it was too expensive and there wasn't that many of them. So they were called bees. They were called queen bees. And everything else that flies by remote control thereafter is therefore a drone. There you go. I didn't find that out until this week. Love it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I thought that was awesome. That's my fact of the week. There we go. You learn shit every day if you don't think you know everything. That's my motto. right, it's Terry or it's Righty. Who's first with the link in the chat room? Who's going for it?
Come on, boys. I'll give it a go, mate.
Righty's quick. I've got to say, Terry, come on, boy. Come on, boy. Oh, it's Techie Tez is in there. He's beating Righty.
In my clipboard.
Oh, it was already there. Good man, bad luck, Righty. You're normally the fastest on the trigger, but
I know. So says the wife.
Do health apps. How to last longer than 5 minutes by Righty Boy. Wear a sombrero and make her laugh for at least 10. Right, Tiki Tez, tell us about your thing, because it's about health apps being harmful. It is.
This one's an old article. This isn't the exact one that I found earlier. It's obviously, you know, articles get redone and what have you. But yes, so health apps, do they do more harm than good? I try to, should we say, manage my intake of food because I am turning into a bit of a fatty.
Dude, you're a long way. You are a long way from me and Doc.
That may be, but I've put on a lot of weight over the last probably year or so, and I've noticed it and all that lot, and I want to try and get back to at least being semi-healthy.
It's called old age, lad.
I'm getting there.
In another 10 years, you'll understand. But go on.
Well, that's what I'm trying not to get to. But my point being is that I've tried, you know, a number of apps, they record what I'm eating or whatever, just to keep track of it. And I wonder if actually that's, you know, what else there is. And I looked around and I saw this article, or I saw a newer article anyway today about this. And it says here that they conducted an analysis of more than 40,000 apps that are available to download on the specifically US iTunes store. And only 16,250 of these apps were linked to patient care and treatment. The further on down, they say, could they actually be detrimental to your health? And actually, the problem that we have with a lot of these apps is they go out to market. There was one I saw today called Pause, and it looks really, really quite interesting. It's this guy who created this app. He's got problems with stress and depression and so on. And he made this app that's kind of like Taekwondo. I can't remember what it is. And he said he feels better and he's pushing it out and it's $2. And he probably spent maybe, I don't know, 4 months on this project, you know, doing science research. Drugs take years to go through and get approval and so on and so forth. Why? And to be able to claim that they have these health benefits and that, you know, you can get better by using this drug. I mean, apps, you know, it's software on your phone that claims to do the same thing. And yet, there's no kind of real science behind some of these. You know, like I said there, the 16,500 out of 40,000 apps actually linked to, you know, doing something good for you.
Are we suggesting this is a bit snake oil salesman time?
Say again, sorry.
Are we suggesting this is a bit snake oil salesman time?
Snake oil salesman time?
Snake oil.
Oh, snake oil. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you just, you know, what do I know that this app was tested or not? You know, what do I know that actually staring at this screen is not only detrimental because my eyes are getting effed about it, but also because, you know, whatever this app's doing is not healing me in some way. It's actually doing me more harm. You know, and that's kind of, yeah, really what I was getting at there. And also on another note, I don't know if you've seen it, but your Apple Watch can also do more, but they can't allow it to do more because they would have to call it a medical device if they did. But that's another article. I'll try and find out later.
I know there's a few people saying that the problem, one of the problems they've got is they, Alan was talking last week, that I did a Mac show, that some of the problems is there's sleep applications for the phone, but actually the phone keeps buzzing because you're wearing it. The phone keeps buzzing, saying maybe it's time to stand up, and 10 to the hour through the whole night, your phone keeps buzzing because of that movement goal issue. And that's not good. Not good at all.
No, that's horrible.
Yep. Yeah, and actually, you just said exactly that, the sleep apps that, you know, that people bring out. Yeah, put your phone underneath your pillow and we'll monitor your sleep and tell you how well you're sleeping. Well, I'm sorry, but having a phone anywhere near the vicinity of your bed when you're trying to go to sleep is bad for you anyway. It's that conscious feeling of, you know, the communication that you could wake up from a phone call and so on and so forth. When your phone's next to you during the day, you know, you get your, or in your pockets, you get that kind of phantom vibration, don't you, that your phone's going off and you go, oh, it's the same subconscious thing when you're sleeping and your phone's next to you. So actually having the phone there with this app running as well, I mean, it's not a good thing, I don't think. You know,
I was going to reinforce your point there exactly, Terry, because my neighbours, who have the shop next to where we've got the BTN studios. I've got my safes that hold all of the drives and hold all of the computing equipment nailed onto the wall. And there's a conduction path between me and them. And the lady that lives next door came around and called me yesterday. She said, about on Saturday morning about 4 a.m. there was a really loud banging noise in your apartment, like someone was banging a filing cabinet repeatedly. Okay. And we didn't know what it was. Is everything all right? Well, that would have been me opening the safes because I need to get out my computing stuff. And she's like, it's really loud, like someone's really banging a filing cabinet. And it's because these premises were built for commercial use rather than domestic use. And they're sleeping in there and I'm not. So I come in at 4 a.m. and I'm like, bang, go to work because I can't sleep. And she said, why are you coming into work at 4 o'clock in the morning? Good point. What the fuck am I doing coming to work at 4 o'clock in the morning and actually working? You know, it's just, and it's hard. I think the problem is with the there's a phrase that keeps going through my mind with stuff, and it's to do with metrics and the applications that all companies put on their phones and computers. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because I can now come to work and start work at 4 o'clock in the morning doesn't mean I should. I should be rather than going back to bloody sleep. And that's the problem with the tech world all over, is just because you can, it doesn't mean you should. And people gather information about us because they can, but it doesn't mean they should. And they tell us what we're doing because they can, but it doesn't mean they should. And my local school, Ellis told me that the school has got like 140 staff to run a school with 1,200 pupils, and you're like, that's 1 in 10. That's ridiculous. When I was there was 2,500 people, and there was probably 40 staff that ran the entire place. Just because you can doesn't mean you should employ more people. And I just really, like, tech is bad for that. Tech is really, the tech world is bad for, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
No, but there's a gamification kind of technology, like me and my wife both wear the Fitbit. You know, it says, you know, you set yourself a goal of 10, 15,000 steps a day, and you follow it through, and that's good for your health. So there are, it's not all bad, is it?
No, I agree. It's not all bad, done in the right way. I think the Fitbit's actually a very good example because it's not intrusive. It's not, you know, it is a monitoring device that won't just vibrate unless you reach your goal, if I'm
right. Yeah, you say that, but how long before you sat in the cinema with the missus watching The Martian and your phone blings and says you got another 2,000 steps to do, and you go, do you want some popcorn?
Well, yeah, there is that, but on a day-to-day basis, you know, it is a good indicator that you should be doing more. That thing with the Apple Watch where it says get up every 10 to the hour, that would drive me absolutely insane. Right.
It drives me bad because it can't work out I'm doing frigging 70 miles an hour. You're like,
no, exactly.
This device is accurate to a billionth of a second every 4 million years, but it doesn't know you're doing 70 and can't frigging stand up.
The one thing with the Fitbit, you get within 2,000 steps and it goes, come on, 2,000 steps and you've got your goal and you might walk a little bit further. And that's a good indicator of doing a little bit more to keep yourself fit. Yeah, being reminded every hour that you need to do something else, that is ridiculous.
Batwench has said, remember that 10,000 steps has no scientific basis, just a made-up number, magic number. There we go.
Yeah, it's like, how many glasses of water should we drink each day?
2 liters.
Yeah, it's a made-up number.
No, but I feel better when I do drink 2 liters.
Sure.
Yeah. Either way, I feel better. Yeah.
And, what if you had and one I feel and better if I actually have gotten off my ass and walked 10,000 steps in a day.
There's also a perfect explanation of why you shouldn't trust the autocorrupt on Apple, because typed, I worked for Costco when they retired and they wanted you in for day shift 6 a.m. so you had to be up at 4 a.m. He didn't even work for Costco. It's nothing to do with it. I hate that. I really hate that autocorrupt goes, do you know what? I know you've typed this, but I think you're a twat, so I'm going to substitute this regardless of what you press as your next keystroke. So if you press space or return, this is going in whether you think you're right or not. Because I'm probably right and you probably aren't.
Bollocks. You know, and it gets worse with each version of iOS. In iOS 9, when I type a sentence and then go back and look at what I typed, many times I think that I need to go see a doctor because I've probably just had a stroke.
I was trying to get to a place called, by us called Mere Green the other day, which is M-E-R-E, green, as in the colour. Siri, navigate me to Mere Green, avoiding motorways. I have no destination for more green. No. Siri, navigate me to Mere Green, avoiding motorways. I have no destination for Main Green. Siri, you're fudging crap. That's not very nice.
Well, at least Siri heard that part okay.
It's just like, where I am, you can't contextualize where I am to a place that's called Mere Green, which is less than a mile away. I do not believe you. Bloody awful. Righty, what's your story, boy?
Better well, not be some rare is that sort of a year again, and I bring it up now and then, but the latest version of Android came out this week, version 6, Marshmallow, and they came out with the fact that a year the version that was a year old, Lollipop, has hit 23% of their phones. And you're kind of thinking, well, iOS 9 has hit more than 50% of iPhones in the last, what, two and a half weeks? And what the hell are they going to do about it? Because this fragmentation is just getting crazy. And then I was thinking, well, they had the event a couple of weeks ago where they've got these two new phones, one LG, one Huawei phone, which are really aggressively priced. And do you think that they're actually going to the market, we're going to go with really aggressively priced devices and get this pure Android experience? Because if you've got a Samsung, an LG, Motorola's not too bad, but you don't get that pure Android experience. You're not getting that upgrade. Do you think that they are really getting frustrated right now about how fragment Android really is, because 50% of iOS is on iOS 9 is huge. But if you've taken a year to get to 23% of your year-old operating system, they must really be sitting there going, why do we bother? But the question is, do people really care? Do people who buy Android ones really care? Because I'm sure there's a few iPhone owners among us, and we all upgraded straight away. Did we all do that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, hang on a second, though, Righty, because there's a certain element of this where I've got to take issue, because the problem that Apple have got is they don't piss off and leave you alone if you go, no, I don't want it, thank you very much. And El Capitan this week has been a perfect example.
Right.
You've got an update. Would you like to apply it? No, thank you, not now. Let's do it tomorrow night. Would you like to turn auto updates on? No, hang on. Auto updates was an option that you gave me a second ago, and I specifically said, no, I don't want to do it right now. And immediately afterwards, going, fancy turning auto updates on? No, I don't. Bugger off. So then you say, right, I'm going to do it another time. So 4 hours later, it comes back and says, fancy El Capitan? No, I really don't. Bugger off. What about turning on auto updates? No, because that was an option. I still didn't fudging click it. And that's the difference. There is the carrier issue with Android, the fact that the carrier doesn't give you the option to upgrade. But also, Android is very passive in its upgrade cycle. If you say to it, I don't want to upgrade, it leaves you alone, whereas Apple doesn't. And you look at the stats for when Apple goes, oh, 97% of people have upgraded to iOS 9. Yeah, that's because it was either it was mental health treatment afterwards, you bastards.
The thing I do get frustrated with Android is actually not necessarily the choice about whether or not you choose to upgrade, but it's the choice of whether or not you choose to upgrade. So by that, I mean, I really want to upgrade now to Marshmallow. But let's say I'm tied into, Vodafone. I'm not allowed to. I have to wait until Vodafone say, yeah, we put all our bloatware on there now. You can have it. Or EE or whomever. The difference, I suppose, is that I've bought my phone outright. So I just wait for the over the OTA update from... in my case, Sony. But what Sony have done is actually for Z3 and Z3 compact owners is they've got an app out that allows you to test drive the latest Android for them, give direct feedback to Sony, and actually say, yeah, that's good. Your branded version of Marshmallow was brilliant. And then, you know, a month or two later, I get it. So, you know, that's a pretty good thing that Sony are doing there, I think. But essentially what I'm saying is that although I may want to upgrade, depending on who my carrier is, I might not be allowed to, whereas you guys with your iPhones get it whether or not you want it.
But it's not just that. It's not that we'd like to. It's the fact that we are almost... It's like you owe money to a loan shark. Either you upgrade or we're going to go around the back of the corner and we're going to break your legs. That's the way it feels with iOS, and it's got to be wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, guys. We got two Mac fanboys here, and I'm right, aren't I?
No, I don't think you are. And the reason I don't think you are is because my parents just don't ever even notice that they have these OS updates waiting for them. I'll get together with my parents, and my dad will be having a problem with his iPhone. And I take a look at it, and this is before iOS 9 came out, and we're all on iOS 8.4 point whatever, and he's on 8.0.1. And I'm like, why haven't you updated your iPhone? Oh, I didn't know anything had an update. He doesn't even notice that these things are coming out. So what I'm wondering now is, are we more sensitive to those notices because we're in the middle of all this all the time, and the muggles, they don't even realize those things have popped up in their face, and they go on with life, and all of a sudden they're like six updates behind.
Al Capitan has been in my top right corner for notifications since it was available.
Wait a minute. We're mixing two things, though. Jeff and Terry are talking mostly mobile, and you're talking desktop.
Well, I'm talking iOS 9 as well, because iOS 9 keeps sending me notifications that says, you sure you don't want to upgrade to 9.0.1?
Okay, so on OS 9, when I told this shut up, it never bothered me again. But on El Capitan, yes, it did bother. And it kept going. And I'm gonna divide this comment in two positions. I agree with Jeff on the hand that in most cases on the mobile side, it's very important that you update because of security reasons and all whatever. So the mobile should happen like almost instantaneous for everybody. So it's kind of great that it happens that way on mobile. On the computer side, the reason why it sucks is for the majority of the users out there, it's fantastic. Because again, it's security issues. It thinks their things go fast, whatever. All of the complainers that you heard about this week that had problems with El Capitan are those of us who are normally, first of all, savvy enough to know where to complain so that it can be read out on a podcast by Ken Ray or Ewan Rankin or Tom Moffitt or Tom Merritt or whomever. So it sounds like there's a lot of problems, but those people all have special hardware. Most of them are the video people or the music people that are using VST plugins. And of course, those things always break. They've been breaking since 1984 when there's an upgrade. And so if you have any professional hardware gear, you almost never can update when it first happens. So therein lies Ewan's bitch. He's sitting in the room connected with a bunch of hardware. And the dumbest thing to do with this hardware right now would be to update to El Capitan because nothing's going to work. So App Store, English, second language. When I say no, number one, leave me the F alone. Number two, you have access to System Profiler. Profile it real quick. When you see an Aja card or a Sapphire 24 Focusrite connected or an inbox or some audio device, you know what these things are. Realize that person probably can't touch the upgrade and leave me alone.
So I'm
going to split that right in the center.
Well, this is where we're going to have an issue because I'm not saying that it's offensive to the point of it. It says, do you want to upgrade? And I go, no, it's okay. And it goes, okay, fair enough, no problem. I say no, and there is no piss off permanently button. That's the problem.
That's what I just said.
There is no piss off permanently button. And it's not about the pro apps. It's about, I do not want to upgrade, thank you very much. And it will not stop me. So when Apple stand up on a stage and say 97% uptake, I've got a real problem with that because 97% of that 97% are people going, do you know what, just upgrade, because I can't be doing with you constantly telling me I have to upgrade before I can even open my mail.
And I think that's those the ones that don't want to upgrade is probably close to the 3%,
Apple,
to be honest.
Apple is more than aggressive with its upgrade cycle than any other software I've ever come across in history.
No, I totally agree with that point. But things like Marshmallow being released this week now makes mainstream news, the same way a new version of iOS makes mainstream news. And people are going to be looking at their Android phone and going, oh, I haven't got it. I can't do that new thing. I can't do the face unlock. I can't do this. I can't do that. And that information isn't getting through to the people. You know, we are geeks. We know what functionality you want and when we're going to get it. It comes into the mainstream news. They don't understand that why they don't get it. And, you know, LG, Samsung, all those sort of people, they're not even advertising on their websites when this stuff's going to come.
I think it's almost diametrically opposed positions. Because you've got Apple, who don't listen to you when you say bugger off, and you've got the Google phone providers who don't listen to Google, who don't provide the upgrade. And Mr. Batwing, as you said in the chat room, don't even get me started on promising updates for the Moto E215 over advertising. They still haven't bothered to do it. And he said about a bug that had been identified. Motorola still haven't pushed the bug for stage fright that was released by Google in July.
Yeah, well, that was one thing we were talking about today.
Yeah, it's opposite ends of the spectrum, though. You've got Apple going update without requirement and not leaving you alone until you do, so that when they run their keynote, they can say, oh, 97% upgrade. And you've got Google, who are pushing stuff out going, here's a security update. This is really important. It's not just nice shit to have. And people aren't even getting it from the carriers. It's the opposite ends of the spectrum. It's not like it's not a fair playing field. It's not a level playing field in any sense of the word.
But then I was kind of thinking, it was a story I was going to bring last week, I didn't get a chance to bring, is, are people looking for this pure experience of OS? Because you got, yes, it's annoying that you get the kind of notification from iOS that you have to update. Yes, but it's a pure iOS experience. Windows Phone is a pure Windows experience, and which is what I thought until lunchtime today, until Jim told me, no, you don't get it. But, you know, the carriers don't interfere with it apart from putting a splash screen on. And that's the reason why it gets delayed. But for the Nexus devices, which, like I say, are aggressively priced, Google are probably are planting the devices into the market saying, these are pure Android devices. You really want these for the pure OS experience. And I'm sure at the point that if they got popular, that they're going to push updates as furiously as Apple are going to do. Because that's what they want, because a year-old operating system like Lollipop, which has covered 23% of handsets in 12 months, that's not good enough.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially when it's when the significant part of that upgrade is security.
Exactly.
So yeah. just because you can doesn't mean you should. Apple shouldn't be badgering you constantly because they can, but equally Google should be upgrading when they can, but they aren't.
Exactly. And that's the fragmentation part of it. You know, it's the fact that it's open source and they allow people to put all that crap on top of it. It's when a new version comes out, they need to reorganize their crap to work with it. And that's why you don't get it. And the article that I was looking at is like, you know, Android 6 is out, you may never get it, and you probably won't.
Does anyone know anyone that's got an Android phone that has absolutely zero chance of getting Marshmallow?
I'd say the lower end Galaxy S's probably. Three.
Yeah. That's not what I asked. Does anyone know a person who has got zero chance?
Yes. Oh, wait, no, they just upgraded.
My point would be that actually, if you're in the know, you tend to buy the devices where you know you've got an upgrade path when it comes to Android, and either that or you go for iOS or you go for Windows 10. If you're not, then you're the average punter who turns up and goes, I got my debit card and utility bill, can I have a phone, please?
Do the normal people really care?
No, and that's my point, is that the average person that buys something doesn't necessarily care about when they get an Android phone, whether it's upgradable or not, whether the upgrade cycle protects their security or not.
Yeah. And do they even know it's Android?
Mate, bigger question, mate. Bigger question.
They've got a Samsung. And as far as they're concerned, is Android is the Samsung and OS?
Who knows? Who knows, mate? No one knows what anyone's thinking in the network of Android. Honest. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're awesome. We look after them. They look after us. You guys buy tens of stuff from them. And they're over the moon. And so are we. And if you look at the live stream now, we're streaming in 1080p tonight. We have got the highest quality stream that BTN has ever pushed out. The CPU on the Mac Pro is 36% while it's recording at 1080p and broadcasting at 1080p. And the server that you've got is from 100tb.com, or affiliate of UK2. And they're the ones that are transmitting to you at 1080p at a 2-second delay if you're running Flash or watching on Chrome. If you're not and you're watching on the iOS browser, then there's still the people that are doing it, but because of the transcoding issues with the software that turns it into HTML5, then you're getting it 35 to 40 seconds later. But that's the software, it's not the servers. The servers that we are using are the standard servers that we get from, anybody can get from UK2 and from 100TB. The server we're streaming from, I think it costs you ridiculous amounts. It's a small, small amount. So check them out. There's also offer codes. Go to uk2.net, but please go via our website. So britishnetwork.com/UK2, and then we get the kudos for sending you back to your regular account to use. Or go to britishnetwork.com/sponsors, and in there, there's all the offer codes that get you the massive discounts that UK2 offer us. Please support them because they're absolutely fantastic. We love them to bits. Thanks, UK2. Tweet out as well, hashtag UK2. Thanks for supporting UK2 for British Tech Network. It's time for the cool things. Mr. Barriff, you're first. You're in line three. Tell us what is your
cool thing. I got to go. I put mine in already.
Oh, have you got to absolutely disappear now then, dude?
Yeah, I got to go get my shot.
Okay, but mate. I hope your knees are better soon.
Wait, I'm going to do my cool thing first.
Oh, no, good. Okay, sorry, man. I thought you had to, like, actually leave, so.
Yeah, I'm leaving in 2 minutes.
After I do your cool, you cool thing, man. Do it.
The link is in the chat room. English is not my first language. I'll pop it again just in case.
I got it.
Anyway, so this thing right here, it just released today. It's called an Osmo. And what it is a 4K 3D gimbal by DJI. So if you're familiar with the Ronin or the Zen Mouse, the Z5 and the, what is the other one called? The Z8, I believe is the right numbers. I'm sorry, the XR and the X5. There you go, English. Basically what this does is it gives you a 4K camera that's on a stabilized gimbal, and it's just really incredible stuff. And kind of like the GoPro, but at a much better working pace, it will send it directly back to your phone so that you can view what you're doing. You can send it to a phone, an iPad, or some other tablet, you know, like a Android, HTC, Nexus, whatever you got. You can see the image while you walk around with the handle. And it's pretty amazing. And if anyone's seen where the better drone footage has gotten lately because of the Zen Mouse cameras that they normally stick on the end of the DJI, like Vision, this is basically taking the little brother of the Vision camera off of the Vision and putting it on a handheld gimbal.
Wow.
$650.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, versus doing what I talked about last week, which is using that the other one. But this thing is 12 megapixel and 4K. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yo, which is going to be more stable? Getting the other one for $350 and sticking my iPhone on it, or doing this, where it's just native. The one advantage of this is I can then use the phone as a monitor. And you can kind of shoot better when you're looking at the monitor in one hand and, you know, it's not kind of attached to the camera. When it's attached to the camera, you have a tendency to stare at the monitor and not at what the camera's doing. So there's, you know what I mean? There's benefits of separating it. But separating it is going to add almost 300 extra bucks to the price.
It is wide angle. So based on the fact it's wide angle, then pointing tends to be an awful lot easier. you may shoot a bit more sky, you may shoot a bit more land, but you're in the rough direction. That's all you need to be.
Right, right.
And if you look at taking the 4K element of the GoPro and sticking it onto the GY, the G4 gimbal that you get from, what do you call it, Fairtech, then in terms of price, you've got to be really careful that this works for you. The only thing I'm saying, Doc, is if you're really that bothered, then the thing to hold out for is not this one, but it's the X5. Because the X5 is absolutely gorgeous. This thing will fit under anything you want. It's remote control. It takes MFT lenses, so it's 4/3 compatible, and you can put any lens you like on the front of this, and it'll fly on your drone. Or, and here's the reason I'm thinking of it, you can hang it underneath your wire camera.
See, I was looking at the X5R, but I didn't know if you could have a way to make that handheld. I mean, if it works on a drone, you should be able to put it on a handheld by just sticking it on the bottom of something that you hold. Right?
I think if you've got, I think this is the separation here, Doc, is whether you've got a GoPro or not. If you've got a GoPro, then you're better off buying the Fairtech. If you haven't got a GoPro, this is a great option, most definitely. But certainly the X5 is the option to go for if you want something that's the higher level, that's 4K, that gives you that ability to put whatever lens you want on it.
Yeah, that's why. I prefer the X5. And I have Micro Four Thirds lens a lot. Yeah. So, you know, that would be it, to have a lot of lenses.
Good pick, dude. I mean, like I said, if you haven't got a GoPro, then this is the pick for you. But just be careful, because if you have got a GoPro, I think you're not going to appreciate the performance that you're going to get.
Roger that.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, gang. Thank you, guys. See you next tomorrow.
Good luck with your knees, dude.
Yeah. Good luck, Doc.
Do shoot some video so we can include it in the end of you having injections in your knee, because that doesn't hurt.
Oh, it's already on my Instagram channel. I'll send you one. Right,
that doesn't hurt at all.
I'll see you.
See you, man. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Right, yeah, then. Back to the normal order, then. Terry, please tell us what your link is.
I think you can guess, Mr. Ranking. I think you can guess. I think so.
Sony Xperia, you're kidding me, right?
No. Oh, wrong guess. You're close. You're with the S.
So I clicked the link was in the chat room. That means you fooled me, which means...
Oh, no, that's a different one. I've been having interweb issues, so I'm not sure if you've got the...
Just post it in right now, and then we'll get it. Here we go. The Shure.
Yes.
The Shure link. Here we go. It's the Shure link. Let's get the Shure link. Here we go.
So this is Shure's SE846 sound isolating earphones at a whopping price tag of £799.
You are kidding me. You can't do an £800 pick with it being just a pair of friggin' in-earphones.
They're not, how dare you, they're not just a pair of in-earphones.
Do they fit inside your ear?
They fit within your ear. They fit on your ear however you want it. You can get custom molds for them, and they're amazing. They come with
just before you go any further, have you bought a pair of these?
No.
Okay, glad, because that would have had me written on your back.
I have not bought a pair of these. I honestly would buy a pair of these. They have,
no, you wouldn't. If you had £800, your wife would have it off you in a heartbeat and you'd be buying a bigger house. You wouldn't be buying a pair of friggin' earphones. Don't lie.
No. I'm sorry. They're amazing. They're amazing. Well,
have you tried them then?
I'm begging. I've tweeted Shure. I am begging for them.
Hey, you can't have a, have you even tried these in your lug holes?
I've tried the SE535s, which are the ones below them.
No, that doesn't count.
Okay, but wait.
You can't have a pick for something you haven't tried.
Wait.
Go on then.
They've got customizable tips, so you can change the frequency. So basically within them, you take them out and you can actually change the listening experience to it. It's got, if that's not enough, it's got its own patent-pending subwoofer. I mean, these are headphones with a subwoofer in them the size of, you know, like that big. That's how big they are.
Dude, you have got a sign on the back that says personally written on you, haven't you? Jesus Christ.
I want them. Why?
You want to spend £800 on a pair of in-ear earphones?
I listen to music all day, every day.
I appreciate that, dude, but Rich Harkness picked some £20 phones that have blown me away. They're awesome Bluetooth headphones. Doc recommended the Audio-Technica plugins one for me for doing reference quality sampling on the noise of the videos that I do. And they're awesome. There is no way on God's green earth that a set of in-ear earphones are worth £800 without you having a sign on your back that says, "F*** me."
If I can prove it to you, I will. If Shaw send these, and I will get the pair of them to unbox for BTS.
Oh, my God.
Dude, if Shaw send these to you, 1 week afterwards, there will be a bloke at your door threatening to steal all your children, beat the living daylights out of everyone in your family. Your mother's going to be dead. Your kids are going to be dead. You're going to be dead. Because you didn't return them. That was the best.
The recordings are going to sound awesome.
I'm giving them your address.
I'm sounding more like De Niro than De Niro there. Muller in the chat room says, "F*** him." Muller Biker also says £800 is bollocks. He also says if Terry gets them and he's wrong in his review, can we shag him?
Whoa!
Even if they're right.
If that's what it does for you, Muller, then yeah.
That boy's wrong.
I'd be sweating whether these phones actually arrive, mate. I'd send them back if they come.
Really?
Well, based on what Muller's put there, mate, yeah.
Unless you need some action, then there you go.
If you need some action, then great, yeah, because you're married now, so.
That's true.
And you're 30, which means you're over the hill.
You make him feel really good about myself.
Your belly's closer to the floor than your penis is, so.
You've been working.
Jeffrey, do you have a cool thing for us?
I do. It's the most amazing set of 800-pound headphones. No, actually, mine is only $60 or 60 euros, and it's not available till December 1st, so you don't have to worry about shelling out any cash today. It's the latest Lego Ideas kit, and it's Doctor Who, and so it's the TARDIS, and can open it up, and then it has an attachment that you stick onto it, and it's the control room area. And it includes minifigures of the 11th and 12th Doctors, Clara, and then a Weeping Angel, and then you can build a couple Daleks to go with it also. And they even actually made a sonic screwdriver for the Doctor to hold.
So they got around the idea of the TARDIS being bigger on the inside than it is on the outside by actually not building the outside.
Yeah, there you go. But you can disconnect the inside part, and then the doors fold closed, and so you can have an actually closed up TARDIS if you want.
Okay.
So this came from the Ideas Project, and it got a buttload of votes, and it looks like the rendition that they're actually, or the version they're actually going to ship, is pretty cool. The concept that was presented as a Lego Ideas project actually included all of the Doctors as minifigures. I totally get why they're not doing that for this. But since Lego now does have licensing from BBC for Doctor Who, it's a safe bet we'll be seeing more kits, which means if you want minifigures of other Doctors, you'll probably be able to get those before too long.
Excellent, mate. We love Lego. We can't fault Lego.
And it's not £800.
How much is this going to cost? Because that's
$60 or 60 euros.
45 quid for friggin' plastic bricks.
This is no pleasing you, is there? £800 for headphones, 45 quid for Lego bricks.
I was totally in because I was following 800-pound earbuds.
Just because you can bend me over and shaft me royally doesn't mean you should.
Tight off.
It depends on the party.
maybe that's the better phrase, Terry. You might have me there. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Do apologise. Good pick, mate. Excellent pick. Right, so righty boy, it's your turn. What have you got?
I've got you a little iOS game. It's The Executive, which is it's what it says. You are an executive. You are a businessman. You are in the hard streets of business, but you must fight werewolves and various demons.
Because the last time I negotiated the contract, all I had to do was beat the werewolf to win.
Exactly. But it's the best side-scrolling beater. If you're like a Double Dragon fan of youth like I am, Terry will remember this. But if you love that sort of stuff, it's a fantastic game. Now, normally, this is why it's a cool thing. Normally, it'll cost you $3.99 in the iOS store. But I'm going to give it to you for free.
How are you managing that, mate? Because it says $3.99 on the page I'm on.
It does. And the link I've pasted in the chat room right now gives you a redeem code to go and get that game for absolutely free. So £4 normally. And the best thing about it is it's all in. No in-app purchases. Nothing like that. It is the most fun. I've been playing it all afternoon. It's the most fun. It's just like one finger tap, beat him up, swipe game. And go to that link, get the redeem code, shove it in the App Store, and it will download you £4 worth of free game. Thank you very much.
UK.IGN.com/prime/promo/the-executive-free. That is your passcode to getting that free of charge.
Yep. It's a lot of fun. It's a hell of a lot of fun. If you like the old side-scrolling beat-em-ups of the past, this surpasses them. It is absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, give that a go. You've got nothing to lose.
Thank you.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Thank you very much. My cool thing, I need to start it. So just bear with me for a second. I'm going to talk over while I start it. It's called Tengami. And you're, what do you mean, Tengami? Well, actually, it's based on origami. So you're laughing. There's the picture of it, right? Okay. So let's say that I continue the game.
Imagine how good this would sound with 800-pound headphones.
Imagine.
You can't imagine.
It's loading up. This game is a computer game that is based on the idea of origami. So what you do is you can see there, look, I'm actually folding the page like it's an origami page.
Oh.
Back to a wreck, and you navigate round the page. Your little guy walks around, and when you get to certain places, it lets you navigate by turning the page in the book. So on the wreck, there is a little code here that I have to manage to navigate, and I can move around the world that I'm in and do various things, and I get hints and tips and that kind of stuff. But it lets me pretty much roam wherever I want. And I have to solve basic puzzles within the world that let me progress to the next level. And one of the things that's actually quite interesting, here's me, I'm about to get in the boat. I turn it over, there we go, I'm in the boat. Now I can sail around the world and go back to get parts. So, for example, when I get to these fires, you can see that there's like a little glowing thing. I can pick up the fire and I can move it to another fire to get things started. And I can move the fires over so that I can start different fires. And all the time, what you're doing is solving puzzles by traveling forwards and backwards through this origami world.
Wow.
And one of the things that's really, really cool is you get to a level and there are origami panes that you fold down or fold up. And you've got to negotiate your way around these 9 levels, but using 3 standards, 3 sets of levels within the origami patterns that you've got. It is absolutely brilliantly done. And the thing that's amazing is it you sit there and the first time you play it, it's like, oh, it takes ages for the bloke to bloody walk from place to place. It's pissing me off no end. And after a while, what you find yourself is just calming down and just playing the game as it goes along, not getting wound up, not getting bothered, and you look at the clock and 3 hours have gone by. It is wow. Unbelievable. And it's really calming and really simply done. And I've got to say to the developers, what a top job. What an absolute top job. You get to areas where it tells you the next stage goes, you fold the page, and you become this person that does these basic things within the origami world. And it's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I can't tell you how good it is. It was £2.99, and it's worth every single penny. Well worth it. I found it by accident. Tengami. There you go. Try that one.
Gorgeous.
It is beautiful. Where can we get a hold of you? Techitez.
You can find me on Twitter at Perry_CY.
Nowhere else? Is that it?
You could have me on Facebook, I suppose, if you want. Not. But Twitter's probably the best place. I'm between websites at the moment.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm hanging out over at MacObserver.com and at FreshBrewedTales.com. And on Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamut, and I'm on a metric buttload of podcasts.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You can get Doc at Doc Rock on everything, social media or everything application or everything to do with anything at all. Just type in at Doc Rock into Google, and if you don't get him, consider yourself lucky. Righty, where are you, mate?
I'm at Paulum's on Twitter. I'm at facebook.com/BritishTechNetwork and always BritishTechNetwork.com.
Thanks, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week as normal. Big Show is operating as normal. Tomorrow, we've got Martin Kelly coming in to the studio, and he's one of the listeners who actually took up the offer from Hoya to have his glasses made at a cheap price. So he went down to his standard optician. Hoya turned up at that optician and they did the whole thing. He's got quite a story to tell actually about how great Hoya were with him. So if you'd like to know more about the Hoya glasses, then send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com or just tune in tomorrow because Martin will be in the studio talking about his Hoya experience. Can't wait to see you then. Thanks for listening. See you soon.